Proverbs 17. I'm going to read verse 6. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. And then flip over to Proverbs 31. We were in this chapter 3 weeks ago. I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but I want to read the concluding verses one more time. Chapter 31, beginning at verse 26. Here the passage is about the wise woman, the wise wife, the wise mother, and verse 26 says, she, that is the wise woman, speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Then flip over to 2 Timothy, New Testament. The last book that the Apostle Paul wrote before his death, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also. And then flip over to chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. But I want to key in particularly on verse 14 and 15. Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for all that you have done so far for us in this service. As we have worshiped, as we have praised, as we have testified, as we have sought you. And now we come, Lord, with spiritual appetites, ready to be fed from the Word of God, to have your Holy Spirit open to us the riches of your Word. We pray that you would speak through your Spirit in a way that we can hear you, love your Word, and obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I was a kid, growing up, one of the things that my dad would say to me is, "Son, I'm proud of you." And it was a statement that he would make often after I had maybe accomplished something academically, brought a good report card home, or maybe after an athletic contest or something like that. Sometimes he would also say, "Son, I'm proud of you," for some character trait he saw exhibited, maybe perseverance or integrity. Now, for my dad, that was the highest form of praise he could offer. "Son, I'm proud of you." That's because my dad's dad and his dad before him were immigrants to our country, this land of opportunity. They had come from Europe through Ellis Island and had settled down in Brooklyn. And they had come here to make a new beginning, to make a name for themselves, and they wanted to make their name proud. And so my dad had that passed on to him, and then he passed it on to me. And I don't think I'm unique. I don't think I'm the only kid that grew up with parents saying, "Son, I'm proud of you." Probably most of you have heard at some time or another from your parents, hey, we're proud of you for this or proud of you for that. Parents being proud of their children, I think, is a normal thing. You see those vans with the back little thing, my kid is an honor student. You know, they want to kind of boast. I saw one, though, that said, my kid can beat up your honor student. I'm like, why would you... Why would you put that on the back of your van? That's just ridiculous. But parents being proud of their children is a normal occurrence. What's interesting is that in chapter 17 of Proverbs, Solomon doesn't say that. Solomon doesn't say that parents are proud of their children. In verse 6, he said parents are the pride of their children. That children are proud of their parents. Now, why would Solomon flip that for us? Why was it so important for him to have this included in the book of Proverbs? I think to answer that, you have to go back to the bigger picture of what Proverbs is all about. And we've been in a series in Proverbs entitled Wise Living for Unwise Times. And what we've discovered is that Proverbs lays out before us a choice that we need to make between folly and wisdom. And that we ought to choose wisdom. That wisdom has blessings that go with it, and folly has consequences that go with that. So we need to choose wisdom. And for those who would choose wisdom, Proverbs lays out for us the principles and truths about wisdom. And what we come to understand is that wisdom is a way of life. It's not just the accumulation of fact. Wisdom is skillful living. Wisdom is about making prudent and right and just choices, being able to discern between good and evil. It's about living in a right relationship with God, what Solomon calls the fear of the Lord. So in that context, when Proverbs 17:6 tells us that parents are the pride of their children, what he seems to be indicating is that in a home where wisdom reigns, parents are modeling wisdom, they're teaching wisdom, they're training their children in wisdom, they're encouraging their children's hearts in wisdom, and yes, even discipling and disciplining where necessary to help them make the choice of wisdom. And that children in that kind of home, in response to that wisdom, say, yes, I want that wisdom for myself. And that in choosing wisdom, they begin to experience the benefits, and they look back and say, wow, I am so thankful for the legacy that my parents gave me. I am so proud that my parents stood for truth and my parents stood for wisdom. That's what you see in Proverbs 31, where the wise woman, the wise mother and wife, has raised her children with wisdom. She has spoken with wisdom. And so now as her children rise up, it says they arise, they look at her and they go, blessed. You are blessed. Well, today I have the privilege of actually carrying out this passage of Scripture because my mom is with us for Mother's Day. And I get a chance to arise and call her blessed. I also have the opportunity to serve as an example on how we need to honor our parents, honor our moms on Mother's Day. Now, having said that, let me just make a quick aside. Not everybody had a mom like my mom, for which many of you are going, thank you, Jesus. No, I love my mom. My mama was bigger than life growing up. Still is. In her heyday, you could plug her in and light up New York City. Now she's been reduced to Boonville, but it's okay. It's okay. But you know what? Not everyone had a mom that was there for them. And I am understanding of that fact. I'm sympathetic to that fact. So for some of you, Mother's Day is not a celebration day. It's a toleration day. You just try to get through it because it wasn't that good for you. Now, as I thought about that and I reflected on Scripture, I recognized some moms were not there. I've been in this community now for 25 years. And in that time period, I've had a lot of opportunity as a sub to meet families in the school system, to work with kids over at the college, to be able, you go ahead and get near your mama. Not a problem.
I'm sorry.
Nancy, you can, fine with me. You come on in, you sit near your mama. I've also had a chance to work with the court system And I've met some moms that failed. Some moms that were absent physically or emotionally. I've met moms that were addicts that lost their children. I met moms that were toxic, abusive, that berated their kids. I get it that not every mom is a good mom. And for some of you, it may be tough to be able to move past that. But can I encourage you with what God says in the book of Isaiah? Verse 15 of chapter 49. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? It's a question that should be answered no. But notice what God says. Though she may forget, I will not forget you. You may not have had the best mom, but you had the mom God intended to get you into planet Earth. I remember when I did my doctoral studies, I had to interview pastors whose mothers or fathers or both were alcoholics. These were pastors, some of them had been in the ministry 20 or 30 years, and as I interviewed them for the research, I asked them, I said, so what have you learned? How has this experience shaped you? And they said, well, you know, at first we were really bitter. We were angry. We felt cheated. We felt it was unfair. One particular pastor reminded me or told me about a story that she had remembered. She said, I remember standing at my parents' casket so angry, thinking of the life that I was robbed of having because of the alcohol. And she said that as I stood there at the casket, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said that this parent gave you physical life so that I could give you spiritual life. Wow. She said, the moment that happened, forgiveness flooded my heart and I was able to let it go. Maybe that's all you can honor your mom for is that she gave you life. But let me tell you about a God who has brought you into the family of God with spiritual moms and spiritual dads that can do for you maybe what mom couldn't do. Paul talks about this in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 and 7, where he says, we're not looking for praise from men, but from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mama, caring for little children. There are spiritual moms out there that could be a blessing to you and help fill the void. Now, I just had to put that in as a side because I recognize you're there, but may I go back to speaking and testifying today about some of the blessings I've had because of my mom, where my mom is the pride of her child. The first is this. It's because of my mom's influence, I'm sure, that the Holy Spirit was able to bring me into a saving faith with Christ. I was raised in a church-going home, but my dad wasn't a Christian. For the first 9 or 10 years of my life, my dad was, as you know, an alcoholic. We went to church every Sunday, but it wasn't his influence that affected me for Christ. It was my mom's. My mom made sure we were in church. My mom made sure we went, and my dad too, we went to church, but it was Sunday school that I learned the stories. My mom would read to me Bible stories, and my sister, she'd read us the Bible stories. It was not my dad, but my mom that would be praying for us at night before we went to sleep. Now, some of the prayers she prayed, in retrospect, I think, what were we praying? How many of you remember this one? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, what a thing to have a 4-year-old kid pray. I'm going to croak during the night. But it was a good Lutheran prayer, and I was raised Lutheran, so we prayed it. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Okay, Mom, I'm going to bed now, really feeling comforted. But she was there. She was there to answer the questions. She was there to have us, you know, as we talked about Jesus. And as I had my first panic attack at 8 years of age when I tried to figure out where God came from, you might think, don't most 8-year-olds think about things like toys and trucks? I'm thinking about where did God come from? You knew there was a problem with me back then. But, all right, that would not be the time to have an amen. But my mom was there. My mom was there, encouraging, praying, and then my mom took me and my younger sister to a kids' conference where around 9 years of age, they preached about Jesus and they had an altar call and we went forward and we gave our hearts to Jesus Christ. I look at Timothy. Timothy had a similar situation. He had a mom and a dad, but his dad, according to the book of Acts, was a Greek. He didn't care too much for spiritual things, obviously, because even though his mom was Timothy's mom was a Jew, Timothy was never circumcised. That was a huge no-no for a Jewish boy. Jewish boys were to be circumcised at 8 days old. So he did not think enough of his wife to have his boy circumcised. There wasn't a whole lot of spiritual input Dad gave. But Timothy's mom, Eunice, was committed to her boy learning about the faith. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we learn that from infancy up, she was reading or quoting the scripture to Timothy. She was probably saying, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, the Shema from Deuteronomy 6:4. She was telling him about, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and all your mind, and that there's one God, worship him. And she would tell him about the greats of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joshua and David. And she told him and taught him, and she shared with him the Psalms, and she shared with him the wisdom sayings, and she shared with him the prophets, and she provided a solid foundation. But then somewhere along the way, Lois, the grandmother of Timothy, was exposed to the gospel, probably through Paul's missionary journey to the cities of Galatia, recorded in Acts 13 and 14, where in Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, Paul preached. And somewhere along the way, Lois heard it and said, that's the truth. And then her daughter Eunice, yes. And then the two of them probably began to work with Timothy. And then Timothy, as just a child, says yes to Jesus. I know we've got some single moms here. You don't have a dad in the home. Timothy didn't have a spiritual dad either, and yet Timothy was able to come to faith in Christ because of the godly influence of a mama. Don't you ever put down, single moms, what you can do for Jesus in your kids. God is the father, and you can be the mama that helps your child from infancy up know the Holy Scriptures so that they can grow up to be powerful. Timothy has two books that were written to him by the Apostle Paul. Timothy was called Paul's son in the faith. Timothy, Paul said, I've got nobody like him, because as a son works or serves with his father, so Timothy serves with me. Timothy, according to the book of Hebrews, was even willing to go to jail for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the influence of a godly mom and a spiritual dad. So if you're a single mom here, we got some guys that are willing to be spiritual dads, and they've got you as a spiritual mom. Your kid can grow up to love Jesus Christ and do good things, great things in the kingdom. So because I was able to come to Christ because of my mom's influence, I arise and call her blessed. But she wasn't done there. She didn't just say, okay, you're in, see you later. Or she used to say, see you in a while, crocodile. See you later, alligator. It's because of my mom's influence that I'm here as a pastor. Now, my mom didn't force me to the ministry. I remember when I was just a little guy, I felt a stirring. I couldn't have been more than 8 or 9. And it terrified me because I went to my mom. I said, oh, Mom, God won't make me a pastor, will he? Now, at that point, that's one of those teachable moments. Your mother can make or break you at that point. She could have said, yeah, and you're stuck with it, sucker. Or she could have said, no, not my boy. What she said was, honey, whatever God calls you to do, you'll be happy doing it. And for me, I thought, I'm off the hook! Because I wasn't happy about the idea of being a pastor. I'm good. I didn't know that my pastor at the time had sensed the stirring, and my mom had, you know, must have felt that. But she just simply gave me room to hear from God. Now, around 9 or 10 years of age, when I was that age, my mom experienced what Pentecostals call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My mom was filled with the Holy Spirit, overflowing, began to speak with other tongues, and her life changed. We got dragged. I say that as lovingly as I can. We got dragged to every worship meeting around. Tent meetings, camp meetings, prayer meetings, worship services. We were appendages as she was hungry for the things of God. But by doing that, she put us in a community where the Spirit of God was working and moving. So it became normal for us to be in a place where God speaks. And so when I experienced at age 15 at a youth retreat the empowering of the Spirit like my mom had and overflow of the Spirit, then it was not out of the ordinary for me at 17 when I got called to be the youth president of our youth group that I was there one night on a Wednesday night and all of a sudden I heard God say, this is what you're going to be doing. Because I had been exposed to that. My mom made sure of that. We were Lutheran in the morning and Assemblies of God in the evening. And so I stayed in the Lutheran church all the way through confirmation, but mama wanted to go to the Assemblies at night. And that Assemblies at night, especially on the Sunday night services, is when God ministered at the altar. And we would be there for hours. And she didn't drag us out saying, you're messing up with me, too much time at that altar. She would let us pray till after 11 at night on Sunday nights. We got connected to the real deal. We got connected to Jesus Christ. And so when God called me, obviously I instantly followed. No, I fought for 3 years because I wanted to be a doctor. I had spent all that time putting science courses in my high school career. I was prepping for, going to be pre-med in college, and I actually still was. But I fought God for 3 years, and after 3 years of fighting, I said, God, it's not fair. Everybody else gets to do what they want, and I got to be a pastor. And I felt like the Lord said to me, fine. And he didn't kick me out of the kingdom. He didn't kick me to the curb and say, fine. He said, fine. And he took that call, if you will, lifted it off me. And for 1 week, I was free to do whatever calling I wanted in my life. Guess what? By the end of the week, I was so miserable, I said, if you will give it back, I'll never look back. That was 1981, so you do the math, 34 years ago. But it was my mom's influence that put me in a place where hearing God's voice and following God's voice was normative. And I'm thankful and arise and call her blessed for that. It's also because of my mom's influence, I learned to serve. One of the things that you'll find about my mom is that if you look up in the dictionary service, you'll see her picture. When I was a little guy, I mean little guy, we would be dragged. We got dragged a lot. That probably explains all the scratches on the back of my leg. No, but she took us to the nursing home. Now, why on earth would a mom bring 4 or 5 or 6 year old kids there? Because she wanted me to learn to serve. She would have us go room to room and we'd pass out treats to these people in nursing homes because she would say no one else is around to help. So we want to make sure they're cared for. We don't want them just to be in a nursing home. And see, she taught me compassion. She taught me to care about people. That doesn't mean my dad didn't care, but my mom is liquid love. See, I learned from my mom something I didn't learn from my dad. My dad would say to me, son, I'm proud of you, but very rarely, son, I love you. So growing up, and it's probably just that generation, he was born in 1915, they didn't cry, they kept their emotions to themselves except anger. So he didn't, in his whole life, I think I saw 3 tears. And they never made it all the way down his cheeks. They only got in the corner of the eye. But for my mom, I saw the whole range of emotion. I could see her weep with those who weep. I could see her laugh with that, and she's got a good laugh. Y'all know that. Laugh with those who laugh. But what I learned from my mom about that is about truly loving people and being compassionate and caring. See, my dad, because he never said, I love you, but I'm proud of you, I always felt as if his love was conditioned upon my performance. If I brought home a 95, it was, hey, that's nice. How come you didn't get a 97? Now, my dad thought he was motivating me. I was literally, is it never good enough for you? Now, I think intellectually I knew my dad loved me, but in the heart level, there was always that question. And it was reinforced by the fact that my older brother was disowned by my dad when he did some things that he shouldn't have done. So I was always afraid with my dad, was I going to do one thing too many and I would be out? I never, ever questioned whether my mom loved me. I got to see the love of the Father through a mother. I got to see what unconditional love is like. To know what it is to accept somebody for who they are Whether they do what you want them to do or not, whether they perform or not, you love them because they're worthy of love because God loves them. And she didn't just talk that, she lived that. Now, my dad, coming through New York City, learned some things about prejudice. He struggled at times with prejudice. And my mom was from the South. She had seen enough prejudice. And she was determined that we would not be prejudiced. So she exposed us to multicultural activities before multiculturalism was a fad. She wanted to make sure we were meeting people of different colors, different ages, different educational status, different financial status, because she wanted us to receive and accept people because they're people created in the image of God. Now, they say the truth is more often caught than taught. It's not as if my mom sat down and said, okay, I don't want you to be prejudiced. I want you to be accepting. I want you to be a servant. I want you to be loving. I want you to be compassionate. It's not like she sat down and had a formal lesson and then I had to take a test in it. She just did it. And children watch. I know she served on the PTA. She would dress up every Halloween as some crazy character and come walking through the school. Now, that was both a source of pride and embarrassment. See, we don't celebrate Halloween now, but back then we didn't think anything about it. And so she dressed up. One time she dressed up. How she did, I have no idea. She wrapped herself and was a mummy. She comes down the hallways, freaking kids out, and they love it. And I said, that mummy is my mommy. You have no idea what we went through. I had to get counseling to work through a lot of things here. I'll tell you. But she was always serving. She did Sunday school at church. She served as a missionettes coordinator for our church. They asked her to serve as a missionettes coordinator for the section. She was always there to serve. And when she did, she didn't say, how much is this going to cost me? She just served. And I look at who I am today, and a lot of that is shaped. The sacrifice, the giving is shaped because she influenced me in those areas. And I am very, very thankful for her teaching me that. I think of the fact also that our pastor and his wife, the Lutheran pastor and his wife, very gracious people, probably the closest thing I've ever seen to Jesus Christ on earth. Franklin Blank was his name. And my mom always made sure she had them over for either Thanksgiving or Christmas. She said, I didn't want them to be alone. You don't teach that stuff through words. You know what I'm saying? You live it. And one last thing I learned from my mom as I wind down is this. I learned from my mom to be an optimist. My mom, if she could sing, and trust me, they pay her not to, according to her own words, according to her own testimony, they pay her not to sing. She did one duet once with another guy who couldn't sing, and if it hadn't been the Holy Spirit that anointed him, we never would have made it through, but we did. Where was I going with that story? Optimistic, thank you. I know where I was going. She could have been little orphan Annie. The sun will come out tomorrow. Now, my mom has not had an easy life. You know, some people, it seems like they came in with, what do they say, a silver spoon in the mouth? My mom's had a rough life. She had an abusive father that would whip her. He was a barber, and he would whip her with the barber strap so she couldn't sit. She had a failed marriage where her husband left her for another woman. She married my dad, and he was an alcoholic. She's had more operations, and some of you are old, multiple operations. In the 60s, when I was just a little kid, we almost lost her. I remember one occasion my dad said to me, we need to go to the chapel and pray at one of the hospitals. She had a vision of Jesus in the hospital room coming to her. And he was beckoning her to come. And she looked at him. She says, I can't. Ray, that's my dad. Ramey, that was my nickname. Ramey and Dawn need me. And he looked at her, and then he turned to go. So I've been blessed with an extra 40 years of a mom that I may not have had, had that been her time. She was in a car accident that banged up her knees. She had a goose break her finger. And we can go on and on with the stories. She got grabbed by an elephant and thrown up a hill. It's just the stories. She's not had an easy life. But for her, her favorite tagline is, "I am too blessed to be depressed." And that's why as I stand here, and we're not yet in our new facility, and we've had to hold that dream of that new facility since 1996. 1996, Asses, it's been a long time that we've had that dream. But in 2 months or so, we get to go in to that dream. Because my mama taught me, when God gives you something, you don't let go of it, and you believe that tomorrow is going to be better than today. Now, there's a lot of other things I could say. Today was a tribute to my mom. On her 70th birthday, 15 years ago, I wrote her this. I did this for my dad on his 70th. 13 years ago, on Dad's 70th birthday, I had the privilege of giving a tribute to him. Now, on your 70th birthday, the time has come for me to do the same for you. This is my tribute and testimony of thanks. Being a parent now myself, I understand more fully the sacrifices you made over the years. Now, some of these will not mean anything to you. They're references that my mom will certainly understand. For those home-cooked breakfasts of chipped beef, sloppy Joe, or cream turkey over waffles, thanks, Mom. For fried chicken and Sunday brunches, thanks, Mom. For 6 a.m. drives to cross-country practices and weekly drives for allergy shots, thanks, Mom. For candles at Christmas, holiday decorations, and Santa, thanks, Mom. For homeroom mom, scary costumes, Cub Scouts, and concerts, thanks, Mom. For chocolate bars and apples at cross-country meets, for cheers at road races and marathons, thanks, Mom. For nursing home visits and lessons on mercy for the hurting, thanks, Mom. For teaching my Foundations for Faith class, praying for me daily, and encouraging me in the pastorate, thanks, Mom. For staying up late, typing my college English and biology papers, thanks, Mom. Yeah. I dictated them, she typed them. For camping trips to Nova Scotia, Disney World, Myrtle Beach, and points in between, thanks, Mom. For great birthday parties, including my 16th with buddies from the church, thanks, Mom. For the privilege of escorting you down the aisle for you to receive the Esther Award, which is the highest award a missionettes leader can get, thanks, Mom. For getting me situated in my first apartment, thanks, Mom. For the wedding of the century to my wife, Giselle, thanks, Mom. For teaching me to laugh and how to tell great stories. Thanks, Mom. For listening when I struggled to fit in while in 7th and 8th grade, and for holding me when I cried in hypoglycemic pain. Thanks, Mom. For costumes and cars, for you forgot the bread and don't forget your hat. Thanks, Mom. You once asked me, Mom, what do I get from you? If Dad gave me the backbone, then you gave me the flesh. If Dad gave me the character and integrity, then you gave me mercy and compassion. If Dad gave me the head, then you gave me the heart. And it's for this reason that this has been written in red, to remind you. Together, you and Dad have given me what I have needed to be in balance, what I have needed to pastor well, more than that, what I have needed to live well. Parents are the pride of their children. So, Mom, I arise and call you blessed. Happy Mother's Day. I want to thank you for allowing me the privilege of doing this. I don't always get, as I said at the start, to have my mom here for Mother's Day. The last time we were together was 2008, and that was up in Boston for my graduation. Usually my sister gets her. So I called my sister and I said, "Can I get my mom this week?" And she said, "Sure." As you know, my mom has struggled recently with some memory issues. I'm just thankful that my mom hears me, understands me, knows me, and I can honor her.